Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
We are talking about 1978. What happened in this week's Throwback Thursday? Co-presenter of 98FM's Big Breakfast, Rebecca Shackleton, is here with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. How's the week been?
Good. It's gone by fast. I am very glad that January is coming to an end. And I think it's gone by fast because of the traitors.
Oh yeah, you're all into that.
I am watching that. Three nights a week doing the podcast. So
not into it at all.
It hasn't been the worst. You will love it when you do eventually watch it. But it is a big undertaking watching a show three nights a week.
Yeah, maybe someday. Anyway, so what happened in 1978? Serious tune, no?
What a song. Grease hit cinemas in June 1978. It's almost 47 years old, that movie.
Which
and
is
it's
mad.
Still amazing, isn't it?
Still, I would imagine, is one of the biggest local drama performances still put on around the country.
I think most people have been in a production of Grease in their school or in their local society.
Yeah, we did it as part of a like summer camp thing, but just scenes from it.
Yes, I was Frenchie in my school play.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, beauty school dropout. I had a pink wig. Yeah. I don't think it suited me, but
no,
sure,
totally seeing it. Anyway, go on.
Film. Of course, John Travolta as Danny Zuko and Olivia Newton-John as Sandy. They met one summer, then they end up at the same high school and they fall madly in love. I always forget it was set in 1958. It was a stage show and then the movie came out this year with so many incredible songs. Hopelessly Devoted to You is such a beautiful song.
Unbelievable album. It was the musical before it was a TV film.
Yes, and it was the highest grossing movie of 1978. It made, I think, 160 million that year. And the soundtrack was the soundtrack actually was the second best-selling soundtrack of that year because Saturday Night Fever, which also starred John Travolta, came out the year before, but it was still in the charts. So Grease was second to the soundtrack for Saturday Night Fever. And all these years later, those songs are still phenomenal.
I still think it's an absolute whopper of a show.
I want to move on now to something else very tragic that happened in 1978.
Just before dawn, a van carrying 50 victims arrived at Evergreen Cemetery. Inside, small pine boxes containing 45-inch steel caskets to be placed in cement crypts. These are the bodies of unidentified children. In place of names, just numbers on the boxes. This is the first of 248 unidentified followers to be buried here. Other cemeteries had refused.
A news clip there speaking about the Jonestown Massacre, which took place on November 18th, 1978. A shocking and tragic event. It happened in Jonestown in, it's Guyana, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But it saw Tim Jones, who was the leader of the People's Temple, orchestrate a mass murder-suicide that claimed the lives of over 900 people. So members of this cult at the time, they drank a fruit drink that had been laced with cyanide. They'd been ordered to drink it by the leader, Jim Jones. And many of those who died, they were children who were 17 and under.
The Jonestown Massacre, pre-9/11, the single biggest incident of intentional civilian death in American history.
It's horrific.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely horrendous. Yeah, which is terrible. And also in September of 1978, Pope John Paul I died, which was really shocking at the time because he'd only been in office as the Pope for 33 days. So the whole world was very shocked. He had been nicknamed the Laughing Pope. He was very popular among younger members of the Catholic Church at the time. And then they straight away had to rapidly elect another pope who ended up being Pope John Paul II. There were a lot of conspiracy theories as well at the time about the death of Pope John Paul I. Some thought that he had even been murdered, but it later was confirmed that he had died of a heart attack.
Yeah, natural causes. Yeah. There's so many conspiracy theories that had to be quashed, I suppose.
Yeah, just after 33 days, it's just one of those.
Phenomenal, all right.
Yeah.
The first test tube baby.
Yeah, 1978, it was July. The first child born from in vitro fertilization, which we now know and call IVF.
Yeah.
The now woman, Louise Brown, she has been called the test tube baby by the press at the time. She was born in England that year and Yeah, it was a scientific breakthrough. Her parents had been trying for a baby for 9 years. And then after a number of attempts to impregnate her mother, Leslie, this British medical researcher named Robert Edwards and a gynecologist called Patrick Steptoe, they tried fertilizing Leslie's eggs in a Petri dish before then implanting a 2-day-old embryo. 9 months later, Louise Brown was born, and she was delivered by C-section at the Oldham General Hospital. And then since then, I mean, so many children have been born by IVF.
Gosh, yeah. Unbelievable. Actually, I wouldn't even have thought that IVF has been around. So what, 46 years we're talking about,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think it's 46 years. Just changed the world really forever and helped so many people who've been struggling with infertility since then.
I wonder, does Louise Brown do many interviews?
I think at the time there was a lot of media attention, of course, but in the years that followed as well. And then her sister was born a few years after that by IVF too.
What an incredible scientific breakthrough. Unbelievable. What a breakthrough. Now, this was another huge release from 1978.
What a theme song.
The sound of Superman.
Superman, released in cinemas December 1978, directed by Richard Donner, and of course starred Christopher Reeve. It was really a new era for superhero films. It paved the way for so many different franchises, and it really showed at the time that movies based on comic books, at the time this was DC comic book, would be so successful. So it was Christopher Reeve as Superman. Marlon Brando, I believe, played his dad, and then Gene Hackman played the villain Lex Luthor.
This was based off the comic book and then became the movie for big screen, and sure, still 2025, it's major franchise still to this day, isn't it?
Still going strong.
Like, you
so
still
many.
See children at Halloween dressed up as Superman.
Yeah, they're never going to stop with the Superman movies and all the different, they've had different spin-offs, of course, as well. Like, do you remember Smallville that used to be airing on E4? So the town that Superman grows up in is called Smallville.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yes.
And then this movie, we see him go to Metropolis and then pose as Clark Kent as a reporter, fall in love with Lois Lane, and the rest is history. But the year of 1978, Superman won a special Academy Award for visual effects. So a special achievement because of all the special effects at the time. It was very ahead of its time.
So a budget of $55 million, the most expensive movie made up to that point.
Yeah, I think it made $300 million or
something.
That is
mega bucks, isn't it?
Mega.
Did I say 46? I meant 47 years ago, wasn't it? I can't
count. Wow, the maths is very strong.
Yeah,
fair play.
It might have been enhanced. There was working it out there in the document. But anyway. Right, lots happening 1978, but in this week...
Yes, we've got three songs that were number one this week. But Andrea, can you guess what year they were out? First up, let's go to the States.
I love Whitney, and I always think if I could sing, I'd love to be able to sing like Whitney. That'd be the song I'd sing if I could sing. I don't ask for much, do I? Not like a little backing singer. No. If I go to sing, it has to be Whitney.
Yeah. And what a film as well.
Oh my God, I love The Bodyguard. Do you know, I saw the musical in the Bourgosh was it 2 years ago? And Alexandra Burke from X Factor fame played Whitney. Brilliant.
The opening scene, there's a big shot.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's excellent on the stage. But
really
that film,
good.
That film. What year did was number one?
I'm going to say 98, right? But I think it's earlier than that.
It is earlier. It was 1993 that I Will Always Love You was number
my next
one.
Guest.
Yeah,
next
93.
Guest.
And I saw this week Kevin Costner. Of course, starred alongside Whitney in Bodyguard.
And
he turned 70 this week. And he put up a lovely post in tribute to Whitney.
Oh.
Yeah. Like a nice guy. I know. Yellowstone as well. I need to watch it.
So 1993, that was number one in the US. This was number one in the UK. Was never a major fan of this song. Lady Gaga.
No.
And I think it was out around the time that I lived in Monaghan.
Yes.
Which would mean it has to be 2010 or 2011.
You're so close. It was 2009. Lady Gaga released Just Dance. I did my Leave Insert that year, and she was just so ahead of her time. That song as a pop song.
Yeah,
just,
I didn't love it.
I adore Lady Gaga. I loved all her early stuff, but I still love her now. Yeah,
yeah, so I know. Yeah, but
2009. That was number one in the UK.
There's only 1 year off. That wasn't that.
Yeah, you were very close. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So that was the US. Sorry, that's the UK. Whitney was the US. This was number one in This Week in Ireland. I actually love Girls Aloud.
They have incredible.
A great catalogue of tunes. As a side note, I was at their gig in the Three Arena last year.
Brilliant.
Like, they sang 15 songs. I'd say there was only one of them I didn't like.
Yeah.
Really well worth going to see. And
the tributes to Sarah as well.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely brilliant.
So emotional.
Now, the thing about Girls Aloud is that for me, all of their songs are like, I can't tell which was the first release or the last release. So I am taking a bit of a guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say like 2012, 2013, but maybe it's 2015, 16.
It was actually way before then. Sound of the Underground came out in 2003.
Stop.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so they
what
won.
What did I say? 2010?
Pop Stars Arrivals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the first song they released was Sound of the Underground. It was their first single.
So that means they were out when I did my Leave Insert. I suppose they were. I just never think of them being... Now, that's not like me to be so far off the mark.
I think it's because the song is so good that it hasn't dated.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? So
I'd like a little bit of a pass on that one. Just decide. Can we make up the rules here anyway?
Yeah. I mean, and you can sing like Whitney as well, Andrew, I'm sure. Next time we ever do karaoke on a work night out, I'm going to hand you the microphone.
Yeah, we'll leave it till about 4 in the morning. Anyway, Rebecca Shackleton, co-presenter, 98FM's Big Breakfast. Thanks a million for joining us for Throwback Thursday.
Thanks so much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.